So we're on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. And we're turning to Daf Hey Amud Beis. So on Daf Hey Amud Aleph, we had this, the situation of the Raya, of the Roeh, and he's in a position where he cannot take a Shavuah. He's not trusted on the Shavuah. And the Gemara presents the Psak of Kinegdo Nishba Vinotel. This is the opinion of Rabbi Zera, that if the Nifkad, that means the Roeh in this case, cannot take the Shavuah because he's not believed with the Shavuah, then the Mafkid will take a Shavuah Kinegdo on the balance of the claim, and he will collect. And the Gemara was up in arms. How could that be? We have a principle of Rabbi Chia. And what we're saying here is that according to Rabbi Zera, if you accept Rabbi Chia, then the Roeh is Chayav Shvuah Modu Miktsas. If he can't take the Shvuah, then the Mafkid is going to take a Shvuah Kenegdo, implying that if we don't accept Rabbi Chia, there won't be a Shvuah Shekenegdo. And the question the Gemara says is, what about Rav Nachman? And this is three lines before the end of Daf Hei Amud Aleph. Rav Nachman's of the opinion that the Rabbanan established a Shvuas Heses in the case of a Kofrat Kol. So the forgetting about Rav Chia and Modu V'Miktsas, even without that, bracket Rav Chia, there's no Modu V'Miktsas. The Roeh is going to be Chayav Shvuah of Ein Lecha B'Yadei Klum, which means Kofra Kol, because of the principle of Rav Nachman of Mashbino Somashuas Heses. And since once again the Roeh is not believed with the Shvuah, then we're going to have a Kenegdo Nishba V'Notel. And that's where the Gemara establishes here on the top of Daf Hei Amud Beis a principle called Takanto L'Takanto Lo Avdinon, which means that we're not going to build one Takana on top of another takana. So the entire enterprise of requiring a shvuah in the case of Kofra Kol is a takana, and that's Rav Nachman's Shvuas Heses. Now on top of that, you're going to tell me that we're going to make another takana if the nitba, the defendant, cannot take the shvuah, then we're going to allow the tovea, we call him the plaintiff, to collect and take a shvuah. And we're going to establish another takana to facilitate, to give a certain power into the hands of the tovea and allow him to collect with the shvuah. I mean, that's a takanta l'takanta. You know, one takana I understand. We made a takana that even if a person is kofra kol, you know, we have a principle ein adam tovel kein yeshlo. There's some element of evidence here that there was a claim against him, and therefore we want a Shvuas Heses, a Shvuas Kofra Kol, which is only Drabbana. That Takana is justified. But now to go ahead and say that if the person cannot take the Shvuas Heses, this Nitba, therefore the Tovea should now be able to force him to pay, that's already going too far. Why? Says Tosus on the top of Daf Hei Amud Beis, we're not going to apply the principle of mitoch in a case of a Shavuos Heses. A Shavuos Heses is only a Tosefis Raya. You know, it's a takana on behalf of the Tovea that he should be able to get a Shavuah, extract a Shavuah from the Nitba, even though the Nitba denies the whole claim. But we're not going to say that in the event that the Nitba can't take the Shavuah, he's, let's say, possible in a Shavuah, therefore the Rabbanan can make another additional takana to boot that the Tovea is now going to collect from the Nitba without a Shavuah, you know, with a Shavuah. That far we're not going to go. So also what we're up to today is v'tepukle. V'tepukle. Now, here the Gemara is raising an objection to Abaye. Right? Abaye says that the reason why the Roeh cannot take a Shvuah is because he's an outright gazlan. And why is he an outright gazlan? Because two witnesses testified that he took two of the sheep of the mafkid and he ate them. Why does Abai have to mention that he's a gazlan? Havile roa. Irrelevant to the fact that the two Edom testify that he ate these animals. Forget about that. Let's say there's a claim against the roa, and we have no Edom. Then would Abai say that the roa is believed with the shvua? Ha Amar Rabbi Yehuda stam roa apostle. The status of a roa is that he's chashed on gezel. Right, as we said yesterday, because he takes the animals and he has them graze in other people's fields. That's gezel. And if a stam roa is chashed on gezel, he's posel shvua. Why do you have to mention this particular gazlan? Because two edim testify that he ate yedim's, you know, the mafkid's animals. Forget about that. So the more answer is, this was the last Gemara we learned yesterday, Lokasha, Hadidei, Hadialma. If the roa is watching his own animals and he stands to gain by eating the, you know, by grazing, right, the animals grazing in someone else's field, then he's chashed on Gezel and he's Pasul Shvua. But if the Alma, which means that if he's getting paid by the people, the members of the community, the members of the city, and he's working on a commission basis, you know, you have here up the block, I don't know if you've ever seen it, in this whole neighborhood, you have people who are walking dogs. I mean, it's amazing. Sometimes, I'm not exaggerating, you can see 10 dogs. Yeah. They're very well trained. So they're walking 10 dogs. Each person is going to pay him something for taking care of the dog. And hopefully he's making a good living when you multiply it by 10. But now, this roa, who's a roa di alma, he has no vested interest whatsoever. He doesn't save himself a dime by allowing these animals to graze in Yenim's field. Why? Because that's not his responsibility. Or if it is his responsibility to feed the animals, then the owners of the animal will have to pay. They're going to get a printout of a bill. You know, he's going to charge them per hour for taking care of their animals. And not only that, he's going to charge them a certain price for food. And that price depends upon whatever food he can give the animals. So therefore, he doesn't have to allow the animals to graze in someone else's field. He'll prevent them from doing so until they get to some area where they can graze and it's hefker, it's ownerless. And therefore, he's not going to sin and take these animals and allow them to go into other people's fields. And therefore, it's not an absolute ironclad rule as we thought it was when we first read Rabbi Yehuda, that stam roa apostle. Yeah, what kind of stam roa is apostle? A roa who is shepherding his own flock. He's apostle l'shvua. Because he clearly has vested interests. He gains a lot of money if he doesn't have to feed his own animals. But if he's a roa di alma, then Rabbi Yehuda's principle would not apply. And the only exceptional case in which a roa would be possible for a shvua would be in a case where two edim testify that the roa actually ate up two animals. De'ilo temahachi. The Gemara now wants to prove that a roa of behemoth achirim is not possible a shvua. If you're going to take the other view that he is possible a shvua, as anan chevasa l'roa hechi masrinon. How can we give over animals to a roa when we know that the roa is chashud of feeding those animals by letting them graze in other people's fields and violate the zeilav haksiv if they evil osite michshol? By my giving over my animal to the roa with some sort of a financial agreement, a commitment on my part to pay him, then if he's going to be tempted to graze in other people's fields, then I, by giving him my animal, violate the Isur of Lifnei'iver. And you see a very important principle here, that Lifnei'iver lo site michshol applies whenever you make it possible for someone to violate an Isur. When you tempt him and you put him in a situation where he'll be tempted to violate an Isur, you, by deliberately putting him in that situation, have violated an Isur Doraisa of Lifnei'iver. And now what we're going to say is that no one's allowed to give any animals over to a shepherd. That's not possible. We cannot undermine the whole, how should I say, occupation called the roah. Everybody needs a roah, so they give all the animals to a roah. No, it's Lutheran, because the roah is going to allow the animals to graze and he's going to violate the Issa Gezel. Ella, but rather we say, Chazoka Einonim Chote Velolo, that in the case where you're paying him and commissioning him to watch your animals, he's not going to have any vested interest in sinning and violating Gezel because he doesn't save a penny. Nothing is added to him. In any event, the owner of the animal is going to have to pay for the food, for the grass, let's call it. But so why? What do you gain by taking someone else's grass? So the shepherd would be well advised, and it would be almost intuitive on the part of the shepherd to take the flock into a marashal hefker, into an area where he's not stealing it from anybody. Because to steal it is a violation of Gezel from which he doesn't gain anything. You know, you can talk about a temptation to steal and gain something, but if he gains nothing in his bank account, why would he be tempted to steal? That's why Abai says only in this particular case is the Roe Apostle Shrua. What's particular about this case? That two witnesses testified that he ate up the animals.
Really? How do you get rid of the shame of Goslin? If you're a Shemayim, you happen to be a Roa. I mean,
that's your profession. What can you do, right? So yeah. How are you gonna shake that? So I would say the following. The maskana of the Gemara, I mean, we didn't look it up in Shulchan Aruch, is that if you're a professional roeh, you're not going to be a gazan. We're going to trust you. You have an upstanding reputation in the community, and everything's fine and dandy. But if you have a situation of someone who has a temptation to violate the Issa Gezel, he's not a professional roeh in the sense that he's being commissioned by others. That's when Rabbi Yehuda says that he's posel shvuah. So let me read to you a footnote over here. He says the following: Vaday odif lifsol es haroa midin gazlan shu posel min haTorah me'asher lifsol es haroa shepsol psulo eino ela midrabanan. He says that there's a fundamental difference between the case of a gazlan and the case of a roa. A gazlan is possible for a shvuah min haTorah. The Torah doesn't trust the gazlan. But if we're talking about a roeh, and we're afraid, we suspect the roeh, that's already a drabbanon. That's already a takana that drabbanon made that disqualifies a roeh for a shvuah.
Because they assume he's a gazlan.
And we're going to assume he's a gazlan, but that's only a drabbanon assumption. You know, the Torah has the rules of halacha on a deraisa level are such that a person has a cheskes kashus. You're innocent until proven guilty. I mean, once the eidim come, that's one thing. But now we're saying that stam roa is possible. That's already a drabbanon. Now he quotes Rabbeinu Peretz, and he says that the Gemara's kash is not a kash on Abaye, but rather a kash on Rav Zera. Rav Zera was the one who said that kenegdo yishava v'yitol. Is now the Gemara asks the following question: the din that a choshev, that someone who we suspect stole something, and we're going to establish a shvua kenegdo of Nishba Benotel, that the Toveya now can collect from the Nitba with a Shvua, who Dafka Kshalohit Parsema Davarshu Hu Choshut. Meaning, if I enter into a business agreement with you, I have to know whether you're Choshut or not. If I know that you're Choshut, if that's already public knowledge, like in the case of a Roeh, then it makes sense to say that whoever goes ahead and gives his behemos, his animals, over to a roeh, that he knew very well that he can't be mashbia the roeh, because the roeh can't take a shvuah. And in such a case, if he knowingly, because it was a pirsum, gave his animals to a roeh, then he's putting himself in a position where he might lose his animals. Why? Because the roeh cannot impose a shvu on the roeh because he's kosher. So if I wanted to give my animals over to a roeh in such a way that if the roeh denies having received those animals, he would have to take a shvuah, and of course the roeh cannot take a shvuah, what would be my only option?
Only option if what?
To guarantee, to protect my interests, to on the one hand allow me to give my, I don't mean allow in the halachic sense, but to naturally want to give your animals over to a roeh and not expose yourself to the likelihood, because the roeh is a kosher, that he's mefursam as a roeh, that he will deny that he ever got the animals from me. So what's my solution to that problem?
Shtar.
Okay, maybe a shtar. I don't know exactly if there's a shtar metaltalin, but Aiden, what he's going to do is he's going to appoint two witnesses to be there and available when he gives his animals over to the roeh, and he's going to tell the roeh that the roeh is not going to be able to deny this claim to him unless the roeh returns the animals, but he's going to have to return them in the presence of Aiden.
What if he dies then Mason?
If he tainas mesu, then I believe that he's going to have to pay, because we cannot trust the shvuah.
Who's going to have to pay then?
The roeh will have to pay because...
What, because you don't trust the shvuah, therefore I have to pay?
Well, again, the roeh, we assume that if the roeh does his job, you know, he's a... The animals won't die. If the animals die, then maybe he was amazed and he was poshea in his shmira. Now, if he wants to claim, well, lightning struck,
Zen or nitref, you know,
right, something beyond his capacity, in other words, circumstances beyond his control, as we say, mitigating circumstances, then he's going to have to take a shvuah. The problem is, a roeh is not nemun the shvuah. Now, it could be that if the roeh would say, well, I return the animals to you, then the roeh should be believed, but the very fact that the mesira was done in front of two eidim means that the hashava has to be done in front of two eidim. So therefore the roeh would not be believed to say, I return these animals to you, unless he has two eidim to support that claim. And that's all in the case of hitparsema davar shu chashut. Now we're going to say to the mafkid, make sure that you have eidim to witness your giving over the animals to the chashut. Abul kishia dua lekulam shu chashin kmo bero mistabelom shemishem osilo behemis lishmar beli edim hu hifsid aliatma sheyada shein befsharut lashbio. So he can't be mashbia because the fellow is a known, you know, roeh, you know, he's a registered roeh, you know, you can see him with his picture. Shiv loke yitnu roeh behemos v'yit be'enu mimenu yoser mimashe nos nolom hu yodah v'mitzas lo yuchal yishava kenegdo. I'm sorry, lo yuchal yishava kenegdo yishava v'yito. So it means that if there's a situation that's yodua, that's well known, that this person's a roeh, then you, the mafkid, you have to be very well advised to have eidim there when you give it. If you don't have eidim, then you, the afsin anafshi, realize what you're doing to yourself, because this roeh is chashud, and he may deny that he got the animals, and you have no proof with eidim to prove it.
So you'll swear yourself. So,
so under what circumstances are you going to take the shvuah? So he says the following. If we're going to say that it was mefursam, that this person is a roeh and he's posel shvuah, and therefore you can be toveah him, then basically what you could do is, and this is a horrible scenario, you could drum up a charge against him. You know that he's a roeh and he can't take a shvuah. And how are you going to drum up a charge? You'll give him X number of animals. You'll now demand that he return those animals, and he's going to admit that he took one or two of the animals, but not 5 or 50 or 100. So you're going to beef up your claim after giving him an animal. He can't take a shvuah. You're going to be able to take a shvuah of nishba v'notel. That can't be. But rather, what we're going to do for the sake of truth and to protect the interests of everyone involved, we're going to require that Adam be there at the time that he gives over his animals. Now, let's go back for a moment to the mission of Shnayim Oksim Vitalis. Zeh Omer Ani Mitzasiyah, Zeh Omer Ani Mitzasiyah, Zeh Omer Kula Shali, Zeh Omer Kula Shali. Zeh Yishav Hashem Bo Pachos Michetzi, Zeh Yishav Hashem Bo Pachos Michetzi, V'yachloku. So the Gemara wants to know, when it says Zei Yishav She'ein Lo Bo Pachos Michetzi, which chetzi is he taking? The Shvua is on which chetzi? Let's say it that way. It's on. Is it on the chetzi that he's going to get, that he's he has the schus of taking because he's tofes, or is it on the other chetzi that he's not going to get? So every shvuah is a nishba v'notel. So then it makes sense to say that he should take a shvuah on the half that he's going to be rewarded because he's muchzak on that half. So the Gemara says the following: Al de isle mishtaba o al de lesle mishtaba. Here are the two possibilities. The first possibility is that he'll take a shvuah on that half of the talis that he will get. And then the nusach hashvuah is shvuah sheyesh lo ba chetzi. The other possibility is to say that he'll take a shvuah on that part of the talis which he doesn't have. She'ein ba, the lesle.
He's claiming kula shali.
Oh, so he's claiming kula shali. Half of it we're going to grant him because he's muksak, and the balance he has to take a shvuah. And that shvuah is going to be, just 1 second. Islay mishtaba means that he'll take a shvuah on the half that he's being awarded. Shvuah sheyeshli ba chetzi. Now he can take a shvuah in the positive sense. Oh, al deleslay mishtaba, which means he's going to take a shvuah in the negative, and he's going to say, not shvuah sheyeshli ba chetzi, but shvuah sheyeshli ba pachos mi chetzi. So which nusach is going to be appropriate in this particular case?
Well, the second one takes into account that he's making a time of kula shali. Because when you say ainli pachos mizeh, means that he really holds that he has the whole thing.
Right, according to his claim, he got there first and he picked up the entire talis. He was zocher in his talis. And now the question is, since it's somebody else holding on to talis, we don't know who's telling the truth, they each have to take a shvuah in order to set up yachloku. But the question is, what is the nusach of the shvuah? Is it al de isle or al de lesle? Now again, even de lesle means he's taking a shvuah on de isle. Yeah. But what does de lesle mean? He takes the shvuah with a negative. And instead of saying, I have chetzia, he's going to say, ein li ba pachos mi chetzia.
Which means I have more than chetzi.
Correct. And that's going to allow him to claim more than chetzi. So there's no contradiction between his shvuah and his claim. If he's going to make a shvuah de isle mishtaba, which means he's taking a shvuah that half the talis is his.
And he's a shaker.
Well, if that be the case, that he's saying that half the talis, he's really contradicting his own claim. Because, what do you mean? What do you mean, islay mishtaba? You know, I have chetzi. You just said you have the whole talis. How can you take a shvuah that you only have chetzi? Now let's look at the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says zeh omer chetzi shali, etc., etc. Is yishava she'ein lo ba pachos michetzi.
Why doesn't he just make it yishava she'kula shali?
Oh, so that's going to be the problem of a shvuah sheker, right? If he takes a shvuah that it's kulishali, and each one takes a shvuah to that effect, then we know that one of the two is definitely without a shadow of a doubt taking a shvuah sheker. In the case of yeshli ba'pachas michetzia, or eli ba'pachas michetzia, in those cases, each one might be taking a shvuah's emes because maybe they found the talis simultaneously. Omar Avhuna, the Omar Shvua Sheyeshli Ba. Okay, so let's go back to the Mishnah. What's the language of the Mishnah? It says, Zei Shava She'en Lo Ba Pachos Michetzia. So it sounds like Al Delesle Mishtava.
Yeah, but that they changed the purpose of the shrua. Then, if you give a shrua that they're saying that it's all yours, then what you're using the shrua is to frighten the one who knows he's telling a lie. But if you change the lashon of the shrua to just reflect what he's going to get, then he's not telling a lie.
Okay, that's true. But I'm trying to understand the difference between the following. There's a subtle difference, but the Gemara is making a big deal about it. There's shvuah sheyeshli ba pachos, sheyeshli ba chetzia, and then there's shvuah sheyeshli ba pachos mechetzia. Omar Avhuna, di Omar, shvuah sheyeshli ba. So far, he seems to accept the first opinion, al de'isle mishtava. But then he says that you have to add something more than just shvur sheyeshli ba
to reflect his taina.
Yeah, how much of this talis are you claiming for yourself? Just say shvur sheyeshli ba. So the Gemara answers that there's another sefer, another piece of his shvur, and he has to say v'ein li ba pachos michetzia. It's not enough to say Shvuah sheyeshli ba. That doesn't tell me anything. But rather, Shvuah sheyeshli ba v'ein li ba pachos michetzi. That makes sense. So that according to Rav Huna, we're accepting the view of al delesle mishtava, that he should take the shvuah in the negative, v'ein li ba pachos michetzi.
Then somebody is lying.
No, not necessarily. If each one says "Einli ba pachos michetzia," then it could be that they taka each have chetzia.
Yeah, but there's now, no reason to say that nobody's tiny that he only has less than chetzia. So he has to be tiny. It's "Einli pachos michetzia." What does "Einli pachos michetzia" mean? It means to say that I really have more than chetzia.
Right. I'm just taking a shvuah that the barest minimum that I have is chetzia. You can't grant me less than chetzia. That for sure I have a claim on it. I'm going to take a shvuah. But what I'm trying to figure out here is what did Rav Huna see in our Mishnah? I have a suspicion that Rav Huna is adding something to the Mishnah. As if to say the Mishnah is a, you remember the phrase chisurei mechzer, that something was missing in the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, shvuah, again I keep forgetting, what's the language of the Mishnah? Is ein li ba pachos michetzia. So Rav Huna wants to add a positive element in the shvuah. So therefore he makes a complex nusach hashvuah. He's going to have to say shavua sheyeshli ba, and then v'ein li ba pachos michetzia. So what Rav Huna I think is adding here in a kind of a chisuri mechzer is shavua sheyeshli ba. See, I think what's going on here is that Rav Huna might be bothered by the following theoretical possibility, that maybe when a person says Ein li ba pachos mifetzia, that he might be saying, no, that doesn't work out. Try to figure out what is the chisaron. Why is Rav Huna objecting to a nusach of a shvua of ein li ba pachos mifetzia? What does he gain by adding shvua sheyesh li ba, those four words? So why can't you just say Shavuah Sheishi Bachetzia? Why do you have to add Ein Li Ba Pachos Mechetzia? What does that clarify? What would be geferlich? What would be catastrophic if he just took a Shavuah Sheishi Bachetzia? Why does Rav Huna feel compelled that we have to somehow integrate or add to the Shavuah Ein Li Ba Pachos Mechetzia?
He wants to incorporate into there that the real taina is Kula Shavuah.
In other words, Rav Huna wants to make sure that there's something in the Nusach HaShvuah that would indicate that he might have even more than Chetzil, because he's tying the Kula Shali. But once again, I don't understand. So why isn't it sufficient that he just make the negative claim, Ein Li Ba Pachos Mechetzil, which is called Al Delesle Mishtava? No. Rav Huna's insisting that there also has to be a Shvuah of al de isle mishtaba. Why is it necessary to take a shvuah al de isle?
If you just were to say fi isle b'chetzia, maybe he thinks he's there, but he's the tining. Is he knows the halacha already that he's going to get chetzia because the other man is the same time as he does the kula shali. So when he's swearing on that, even though he doesn't believe that he said in the Velderein that he has is kula shali, but he knows it isn't really kula shali. So he's not afraid to take the shua because all he's saying is chetzia shali, which he knows that the halacha that's what he's going to end up with. So you want to make him swear on something that at least gives a shemitz of something beyond what he's going to end up with.
So again, let me ask my question one more time.
Yeah.
Why isn't it sufficient to say Shavua She'ein Li Ba Pachos Mechetzia?
Just that,
is that a chisaron? Yeah. But why do we need this al de islay mishtab? Ein Li Ba Pachos Mechetzia. I don't have less than half. I guess maybe it's just a principle, a universal principle in Shavua, that a Shavua has to be on a claim. You can't say Ein Li Ba Pachos Mechetzia. That's not a Shavua. A Shavua has to be, what are you claiming? Again, we can't let you take a Shavua on the whole talis for whatever reason, because that's going to be a Shavua Sheker. But you can take a Shavua on half the talis. That's fine, but if we want to solve the problem of a shvua that allows room for his claim to have the whole talis, we're going to say Eli Bal Pachos Mechetzia. Why isn't that sufficient? The answer is that there's a fundamental principle in shvua that applies straight across the board in every case of a shvua that. What you do is you take a shvua on your taina, and that requires what's called al de isle. Al de isle means you have a claim to money. Take a shvua on that claim. It's not enough to say in the negative that I don't have less than a chetzia, because saying you don't have less than a chetzia is not a positive way of producing a claim.
No, I think it has to do with. I think maybe this is it, because one is claiming. What if one is claiming kula shali, the other is claiming chetzia shali?
Oh, you ready for that case already?
Yeah,
not kula shali and kula shali.
Well, no. The next case. Of
right, I'm saying you wanted to discuss
that drives the shvua in kula when they move the time kula shali.
Let me just read to you the Shitim Gubetzes. He says here that Hareim Yeshlog Betalis, if he has part of the Talis, and let's say in truth he doesn't have half the Talis, that's a lot. He does have part of the Talis, let's say he has a fraction of the Talis. He got there a little bit late, but he was able to somehow make a kinyan on part of the Talis. So he says, then if he takes a shvua to the effect of ein lo ba pochos mechetzia, that itself is a shvua sheker, because he only has, let's say, a quarter of the talis. Aval im ein lo ba klum lo nishva l'sheker. Sharei omar ein li ba pochos mechetzia. He says, if he doesn't take the shvua in the positive, then even if he's lying, the shvua is not a shvua sheker, because he's saying ein li ba pochos mechetzia, I don't have less than chetzia. Let's say he has nothing, he doesn't own anything in the talis.
Well, that's certainly less than chetzia.
No, I think what he's saying here, I'm just trying to figure out what he's saying, is that when he says ein li ba pochos mechetzia, he's saying that if I have part of the talis, I don't have less than half the talis. But he's allowing for the possibility of ein lo ba klum, and that would be reconciled with his shvua of ein li ba pochos mechetzia. We need a shvua which would not facilitate the possibility that if he has nothing in the talis, he hasn't yet taken the shvuas sheker. And the only way we can accomplish that goal is if he takes the shvua in the positive, and he would say yesh li ba chetzi, or yesh li ba lefachos chetzi. Then if he has nothing, he's an outright liar. But if he says ein li ba, he means to say if I were to have something in this talis, then I wouldn't have less than chetzi, but there is a possibility he doesn't have anything in the talis. Rav Ossi, you're very quiet here. Are you with me on this? So again, the Gemara vacillates here before Rav Huna as to what the nusach of the shvua should be. There's a positive nusach which says yesh li ba chetzia. There's a negative nusach which says I don't have less than chetzia. So we were trying to figure out what's the problem with his saying ein li ba pochos mechetzia. I understand that you want to allow him within the context of the shvua to claim even more than chetzia, and therefore to say yesh li ba chetzia would be problematic. But we're asking the flip side: why isn't it enough to take the shvua of ein li ba pochos mechetzia, which means I have chetzi? The answer is no. That ein li ba pochos mechetzia means if I have anything in this talis, I don't have less than half. But it opens up to the possibility that he might not have anything in the talis. That's what he says here, that Omar ein li ba pochos mechetzia, v'achein ein lo ba klum. V'achein pirish dvar b'shem morenu harav. And then he quotes the Ramshiv. Kosov lefarish is divrei gemara kach, sheyesh lahakshos ma kavona sashvua. Ha'im ha'kavona lashbio al ma sheyesh lo betalis. Oh, shakavona lashbio al masha ein lo batalis. Hello, vadai shakavoni lashbio al masha yesh lo batalis. Is harea nusuk shal shvu she ein li ba pochus michetzio yochel gam lisparish she ein lo afilu shlish or afilu reva minatalis. Ah, I don't have less than chetzi, which might mean that ein lo afilu shlish o reva min atalis.
Wait,
just one second, Jeff. Do you? Yeah. What did you understand? I want to just give Jeff an opportunity. If he can help me out over here, or John, if you want to help me out over here. So again, here's the nusach of the Maram Shiv. He's saying the following. Again, this is the key line here to explain why we need a positive element in the Shvuah, which is Rav Huna when he says shvur sheyesh libo. If he would only say shvur sheyesh libo pochus michetzi, he says the following. I'll read it again. There's just one line here that's critical. He says yochol gamlis parish. If he says ein libo pochus michetzi, it lends itself, it tolerates the following. She'ein lo ba afilu shlish o reva min atalas. When he says ein libo pochos michetzio, I don't have less than half, it could mean that ein lo ba afilu shlish o revi, ein libo pochos michetzio. She'ein lo afilu shlish o revia. In other words, anything that's less than half, I don't have. So what does that mean? Does that mean I have half, or does that mean I don't have anything that's less than half? If it means I don't have anything that's less than half, then it could be that he's saying I don't have a quarter of the talents. Can you fill me in?
It doesn't make sense.
Again,
if I have not less than half, that says that I have more than half.
No, it could be that anything that you call less than half, I don't have. So give me a list of whatever is called less than half. If you have 50%, 33%, 25%, I don't have any of those. Which might mean that he has nothing. Do you understand? Any fraction that's less than 50%, he doesn't have. But that doesn't mean that he has anything in the talus. He might be excluding any fraction. Why is he saying the truth when the whole thing is a lie? Do you understand what I mean? He's really fabricating. He doesn't have anything in his talus. But yet he has no problem fooling us by taking a shvu of any but pachos mechetzi, which means I don't have any fraction that's less than chetzi, which might mean that he has zero.
I understand, but yeah. It's a semantic.
Again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to figure out here why is it that the Gemara thinks that it's definitely a requirement that he has to take the shvua in the positive, which means yesh libo. And what the Gemara is suggesting, at least the way the Maharam Shif understands it, is that once he says ein libo, he might be excluding any number of fractions that are less than 50 without having said positively that he owns anything in the talus.
Yeah,
he has not taken the shvua that he owns anything in the talus.
That's a harava.
He's just saying,
exactly.
Correct, and that's the purpose of the shvua. The purpose of the shvua is to try to avoid harava, where he's thinking one thing, and we're interpreting his words in the opposite, in a totally different way. We're interpreting that he has a chetzi and beyond, right? At least a chetzi. But that's not what he said. He never said yeshiva chetzi. What he said was, I don't have any fraction less than chetzi, but he hasn't told us what he has. Maybe he has nothing. And even though he has nothing, his shvua is still a shvua's emes. Why? Because he just said he doesn't have in this talus anything that's less than 50. That's true. He has nothing in
the talus. No, that's not a shvua's emes, it's a shvua's shav.
Well, I don't care about shvua's shav. I'm just trying to say that according to Rav Shiv, we now have an insight into why the Gemara is maintaining that the Shvua has to have a positive statement in it. If the Shvua doesn't have a positive statement in it, then he might be telling me that I don't have X, Y, or Z. Now, what's the X, Y, or Z? Pachas Vichetzia. So let's flesh it out. What is Pachas Vichetzia? And we have all these fractions. And I don't own in this talis neither half, or let's say 49%, I should say, right, which is less than chetzio. I don't own this talus 33%. I don't own this talus 25%. And in his mind, what he's saying is, because I don't own anything in the talus. He has never contradicted that or excluded through his shvua that possibility that he owns nothing in the talus. And he's a gazlan gomer. So we have to produce a shvua which clearly which clearly indicates that he has part of the talus and excludes the possibility that he has nothing in the talus. Otherwise, he might have nothing in the talus, and yet his shvuah is not a shvuah sheker. So we'd be very meticulous and demanding in the nusach hashvuah, because the nusach hashvuah ultimately has to prove that he claims that he has X amount in the talus. In this case, he has half of the talus. On the other hand, if he would make the claim that he has half of the talus, then his shvuah is sort of like an admission on his part that all he has in the talus is half the talus. Well, he wants to claim more than half the talus. So therefore, the nusach hashvuah has to be a combination of, yes, I have chetzia, but I don't have less than chetzia. So what do we gain by A plus B? By adding both the positive and the negative. So by adding the positive, we guarantee that he's telling us that he has something in the talus, because he says, yesh li ba, and he took a shvuah to that effect. So he definitely has something in the talus, to the exclusion of the case where he has nothing in the talus.
But
on the other hand, we don't want to exclude the possibility that he has more than chetzia. So we're not going to suffice with a shvuah in the positive, namely yesh li ba chetzia, because maybe he has more than chetzia. So what we're going to add here is the negative, and that is ein li ba pachos mi chetzia. He can't be saying that he has nothing in the talus, because he said yesh li ba. He, on the other hand, is not saying that he doesn't have more than half, because he says, Shvuah she'en li bo pachos mi chetzio, but I may have more than chetzio. So that's the way Rav Huna understands this Shvuah.
Okay.
All right, let's now take an opportunity